Hello, blood sugar champions. What is the best rice for people living with diabetes? I wanted to find out for myself. So I bought 20 different kinds of rice, and over the past 20 days, I've eaten every single one of them. During this experiment, I wore a continuous glucose monitor. That's why I could clearly track how much my blood sugar spiked after eating a bowl of each type of rice. In this video, I will reveal the most blood sugar friendly rice, which is right here in this bowl. But I will also share some tasty rice alternatives and teach you how to prepare any rice to make it more blood sugar friendly. Keep in mind, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm just someone who's lived with diabetes for 35 years and I've learned how to keep my blood sugars under control. So here is what we're gonna do. I'll sort out all the rices that I tested in three bowls. Red bowl with rices that cause a major blood sugar spike, yellow bowl with rices that cause a moderate blood sugar spike, and green bowl with rices that are blood sugar friendly, causing only a mild or no blood sugar spike at all. And let's start with long grain white rice, which is the most popular option in both North and South America and Africa. This rice is firm and fluffy, it has a mild taste, and it's often used in everyday dishes like stir fries or casseroles. But I'm really curious what it will do to my blood sugar. A portion of cooked long grain white rice has about 46 carbs, only 2 grams of protein, and hardly any fat or fiber. Now remember, the more naked carbs you eat, the bigger blood sugar spike you will get. And that's exactly what happened to me. When I ate a bowl of this rice, my blood sugar spiked very quickly and it went a lot higher than what I'd like to see. Therefore, I put long grain white rice in the red bowl. It's definitely not the best option for someone living with diabetes. Now, please let me be clear. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to eat white rice at all. But what I am saying is consider going for smaller portion sizes whenever you eat anything from the red bowl. And consider using some of the blood sugar hacks I'll be talking about in a minute. Next up is whole grain rice, also known as brown rice. This rice is firm and more chewy than white rice. It has a nutty flavor and is often used in health-conscious meals. It's definitely not the tastiest rice I've ever tried, but is it blood sugar friendly? Let's look at the numbers first. A portion of this whole grain brown rice contains about 41 carbs, which is a bit less compared to the white rice. But on top of that, it also has 5 grams of protein, 4 grams of fiber, and 3 grams of fat. Sounds really promising. The carbs in this rice are not completely naked, and they should rise my blood sugar slower and more gradually. And that's exactly what happened. Although my glucose did spike after eating a bowl of brown rice, the spike was not that steep compared to white rice. And that's why I put whole grain rice in the yellow bowl. It's definitely a more blood sugar friendly option for someone living with diabetes. With all the foods in the yellow bowl, I know that I can eat a moderate sized portion and don't worry about my blood sugar spiking too much. But I still do pay attention to my insulin dose and timing of that insulin, because when I get that right, my blood sugar will stay in the optimal range. Moving on to another popular alternative, jasmine rice. This one has a softer texture, a slightly sweeter taste, and is often used in South Asian dishes like curry or stir fries. I love me some Thai green curry. But before I get too excited, let's look at the micronutrients and what the jasmine rice did to my blood sugar. A portion of this rice has about 46 carbs, only 3 grams of protein, and hardly any fat or fiber. That's a lot of naked carbs. So I wasn't really surprised that jasmine rice spiked my blood sugar very quickly and a lot higher than what I'd like to see. And therefore, I put it in the red bowl, next to the long grain white rice. Not the best option for someone living with diabetes. Now some people say that rinsing rice with water helps remove starch and make the rice more blood sugar friendly. I tried doing that both before and after cooking, but I could hardly see any impact on my blood sugar. Rinsing the rice doesn't really make a difference for me, but something else does, and I will get to it in a minute. Next up, and one of my personal favorites, is wild rice. And the funny thing is, wild rice is technically not a rice. It's made of seeds of aquatic grass species, whatever that means. But this rice is considered a whole grain, and it has a nutty flavor, chewy texture, and high nutritional values. So let's find out if this rice was good to my blood sugar. A portion of wild rice contains 42 carbs, 6 grams of protein, 4 grams of fiber. This looks really good because the fiber, protein, and fat should slow down absorption of those carbs and prevent a steep blood sugar spike. And that's exactly what happened. My glucose did go up after eating a bowl of this rice, but much less than after eating white rice. And that's why I put wild rice in the yellow bowl, next to the brown rice. They're both solid options for someone living with diabetes. But please be careful. Not every wild rice is the same. What some brands are trying to sell you as wild rice is not really that good for you. When I'm picking the rice for myself in a store, I always goes for those that have the highest possible fiber and protein content, because these tend to be more blood sugar friendly. Now, if you're getting a bit nervous about the fact that we still don't have anything in the green bowl, don't worry. I have a couple options coming a bit later in this video that will definitely make it there. But the next popular option I want to talk about is basmati rice. This one is light and fluffy, and it smells a bit like popcorn. It's often used in the Middle East and in Indian dishes like biryanis or curries. A portion of cooked basmati rice has about 46 carbs, only 3 grams of protein, and hardly any fat or fiber. So we're starting to see a trend here. All white rice alternatives have a lot of naked carbs. And that makes sense because they're usually heavily processed and stripped out of all the good stuff. After eating a bowl of basmati rice, my blood sugar spiked just as much and just as fast as after eating jasmine rice. Not surprising. Basmati rice is not a diabetes-friendly alternative, and that's why it goes directly to the red bowl. I do eat it from time to time though. I just try not to overdo it. But let me let you in on my little secret how to make any rice more blood sugar friendly. I noticed that when I put cooked rice in the fridge for a few hours and then reheat it later and eat it, my glucose rises a lot slower. It makes for a noticeable improvement in my post-meal blood sugar levels. I did quite a bit of research on this, and I found a few studies supporting the claim that this approach reduces glycemic index of the rice for people with both type 1 and type 2 diabetes. So if you'd like, feel free to try this hack next time when you eat rice, and let me know how it worked for you. Moving on to a very special kind of rice that you might not know, black rice. This rice also has nutty, sort of earthy flavor. It's sticky and more dense compared to white rice, but I like it. A standard version of cooked black rice has 42 carbs, 3 grams of fiber, and it's very rich in both protein and fat. Actually, the macros look really promising, especially because the fats included in this rice are healthy unsaturated fats. But let's see what the black rice did to my blood sugar. When I ate a bowl of black rice, I could see a moderate but gradual rise in my glucose. My blood sugar got a bit higher than I would like to see, but it was nothing dramatic. Black rice is definitely a better option than white rice for me. And you probably won't be surprised that it goes in the yellow bowl, right next to the wild rice. Next, I want to talk about a rice substitute that I really like. Actually, it's one of my favorite items on the list, cauliflower rice. The main benefit of cauliflower is that it's not rice, it's vegetable. So it's low in calories, it contains vitamin C and K, and it's a good source of antioxidants. But it's actually not that difficult to turn this into rice. You just shred the cauliflower into rice-sized pieces, put a tablespoon of olive oil in a big pan, stir fry the cauliflower on medium heat for about 6 to 8 minutes to get rid of most of the moisture, and add a pinch of salt. The final product really looks and tastes like rice. By the way, a portion of the cauliflower rice has only 5 carbs, 2 grams of protein and 2 grams of fiber. The fat content will depend on how much of the olive oil you used. When I ate a bowl of this rice, my blood sugar graph stayed pretty much flat, in the optimal range. Therefore, I put cauliflower rice in the green bowl, without a doubt. I simply eat as much of the cauliflower rice as I want, and I don't worry about my blood sugar. Now, real talk. I know you might not like the idea of eating cauliflower rice. You might want the real thing, right? And that's okay, because there is a super simple way how to eat the standard white rice and still make the whole meal super blood sugar friendly. Here's how you do it. Divide your plate in 3 parts. 1/3 will be your rice. The second third should be your non-starchy vegetables, so something like cauliflower, broccoli, or spinach. These will add a lot of fiber and slow down the blood sugar spike. And the last third will be your lean proteins to help balance the post-meal blood sugar. So something like unsweetened chicken curry, avocado, or something else you like. You see, all these other elements on your plate will help tremendously to keep your post-meal blood sugar under control. Just don't add any butter chicken, okay? Next up is sushi rice. And this one might be a bit controversial. Sushi rice is soft and sticky, it has a mildly sweet flavor, and is often used in sushi rolls and rice bowls. When we look at the nutritional values, we'll see that a portion of cooked sushi rice has a whopping 48 carbs, 4 grams of protein, and no fat or fiber. Based on those numbers, this rice doesn't look very blood sugar friendly, does it? So it was not a surprise for me that after eating a bowl of sushi rice, my glucose spiked the most of all the rice options I tested. And that's why I put sushi rice in the red bowl. It's definitely not the best option for someone living with diabetes. But the thing is, when I eat sushi, it often includes other things like fatty fish, avocado, cream cheese. And what all the fat in sushi does, it makes my blood sugar spike a lot slower and stay elevated for much longer compared to when I eat the sushi rice on its own. You can clearly see the difference in this graph. And that's why if your body still produces some insulin, your blood sugar might stay in the optimal range even after eating a medium-sized plate of sushi. Now, on the other hand, if you live with type 1 diabetes like me, you might need to adjust your pre-meal insulin dose. I bump it up a little bit and I also distribute it over a longer time to allow for slower absorption of those carbs. And by the way, I do this for any high carb, high fat meal, not just sushi or a rice bowl. But next up is red rice. This one is similar to black rice, but not exactly the same. It has a nutty, earthy flavor, but it is firmer and not as sticky as black rice. A standard portion of cooked red rice has 47 carbs, 4 grams of protein, 3 grams of fat, and 2 grams of fiber. The macros don't look too bad, but let's see what red rice did to my blood sugar. When I ate a standard portion, my blood sugar spiked quite a bit. Not as much as it did from white rice, but a bit more compared to black rice or whole grain rice. Now, I decided to put red rice in the yellow bowl. I do eat it from time to time, but when I do, I try not to overdo it and I carefully take my insulin before the meal. Moving on to another interesting rice option. This is GABA rice. What's special about this rice is that it's been soaked and sprouted. It has a soft, slightly chewy texture, but I have to say that it tastes really good. A portion of cooked GABA rice has 43 carbs, 4 grams of protein, and 2 grams of fiber. This rice is often praised on the internet as being the most nutritious rice alternative. But I was really curious how it will impact my blood sugar. And to be honest, I was a bit disappointed because after eating a portion of GABA rice, my blood sugar spiked more than I expected. Before this test, I was hoping that GABA would make it to the green bowl, but it didn't. It goes to the yellow bowl, right next to the red rice. It's an interesting option for someone living with diabetes, but definitely not the best. Next item on the list is not just rice. It's actually a mix of white rice, whole grain quinoa, and red lentil. And to be honest, it's one of my absolute favorites. It's healthy, very nutritious, and it tastes really good. When we look at the numbers, we'll see that a bowl of this cooked rice mix has only 38 carbs, but it does have 8 grams of protein and 5 grams of fiber, which is pretty amazing. After eating a bowl of this rice mix, my glucose increased gradually for a couple hours, but it didn't spike too high. And I was very happy to see that. Now, although this rice mix is not as blood sugar friendly as the cauliflower rice, for example, it's much better than any other packaged rice I tested so far. And it still tastes a lot like actual rice. I decided to put it in the yellow bowl, but it's definitely the most blood sugar friendly option in this bowl. Don't worry though, I still have one more option coming up that will make it to the green bowl. Now, the nice thing about the rice mix is that you can create your own version by adding legumes and grains that you like that have similar cooking time. Things like lentil, barley, or farro work the best because they have very low glycemic index, but it's really up to your personal taste. Moving on to the next item on my list, risotto rice. This one has a creamy, soft texture, mild flavor, and it's used in traditional Italian risottos and other creamy rice dishes. When we look at the macros, we'll see that a bowl of cooked risotto rice has 47 carbs, 4 grams of protein, and 1 gram of fiber. The numbers don't seem exactly blood sugar friendly, so let's see what happened when I ate a bowl of this rice. My glucose started going up quite fast, within a half an hour, and overall, my blood sugar spiked a lot higher than what I would like to see. That's why the risotto rice goes in the red bowl. Whenever you eat it, please watch the portion size and monitor your blood glucose more closely. But here is one thing about risotto rice that's really important. A traditional Italian risotto is usually made with a lot of butter, Parmesan cheese, and olive oil. That's what makes it so creamy, but it also adds a lot of fat. And just like with sushi, all this fat makes my blood sugar spike a lot slower and stay elevated for much longer compared to when I eat the rice on its own. So keep this in mind next time you're about to eat a plate of risotto. Now, before I reveal the winner and tell you what my absolute favorite rice is, I want to let you know how you can connect with me. The easiest way to do that is Patreon, where you can message me directly and watch bonus content. I do respond to every question from my patrons, and that's why places in my Patreon group are limited. Check out the link below and join while you still can. But now moving on to my number one favorite rice. Although technically this isn't rice, it definitely deserves a spot on my list, especially if you're looking for a super low carb option. This translucent jelly-like rice is made from the konjac plant, which contains mostly water and soluble fibers. A portion of this shirataki rice has only 5 grams of carbs, but nearly all of that is fiber, hardly any protein or fat. That sounds really promising, so let's see what the shirataki rice did to my blood sugar. When I ate a bowl, I was impressed. My blood sugar didn't spike at all. And that's why shirataki rice goes in the green bowl, without a doubt. It's the ultimate low-carb rice alternative. But I have to be honest with you, shirataki rice doesn't taste great on its own. But just like white rice, it has neutral flavor. And when you add your sauce or meat to it, it can absorb the tastes of the sauces really well. And it makes for a perfectly tasty meal. The thing is, if you live with diabetes, rice is probably not the only challenge to manage. Another thing that used to spike my blood sugar a lot was pasta. But it doesn't anymore, because I found a few blood sugar friendly pasta options. If you want to know what they are, click on this video and watch it next. And if you enjoyed this video, please consider joining my Patreon. It would mean a world to me. See you next time. Ciao.